Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Bankroll Burners, the podcast for poker players who can't stop getting it in bad. I'm Mike.
And I'm Josh.
And we are here, as always, to bring you some recently played poker hands, to discuss them, to dissect them. We're going to be hearing them from each other for the first time, critiquing each other's play, believing in ourselves that we're learning lessons, and then next week we'll do it all again with some more terrible play.
Yes, I mean, and last week, if you haven't watched that episode, please go back and watch last week's. It's more terrible than usual because it features us playing against each other online for small amounts of... Small amounts of heaps of money. So we really go after each other, have a great time. But back to usual today, getting into the live and online cash game streets. Mike, why don't you get us started this week? Tell me a bit about this the setting of this hand.
Sure, yeah, I can kick us off. And this is a 2-2 hand from Best Bet Jacksonville, which if I'm going to play 2-2, I do prefer to go there because they have a $300 cap instead of a $200 cap, which is the other Best Bet location. And I will say that playing 2-2 with a $200 cap is like, I mean, you know, either your stack's in or it's not. It's not a very complicated game. It's very hard to have an edge.
Yeah, and I guess it depends on how much you're, like, opening to and that kind of thing. Because, obviously, you know, cash games in true online games have 100 big blind cap. And it can be pretty tough to get your stack in a single raise pot because the typical open is between 2 and 3x the big blind. So if people are actually opening to, like, 6, then, you know, it probably takes a while to get it in. If people are opening to, like, 15, probably not so much.
Yeah. No, and in these 2-2 games, it's not uncommon to see $15 open. So with a $200 cap, it's like, man, you know, it's like a single raise pot. You know, you have 6 SPR is, like, the best you can hope for.
Yeah, and then obviously you're going to go multi-way. I mean, it's live poker. It's going to happen. So, you know what? I played at Best Bet Orange Park once, played the 2-2 game, $200 cap. Didn't feel like it was that bad, but I did run hot, so that helps. When you're getting it in every hand you want to.
Exactly. So, yeah, anyway, so I was playing some 2-2 due to my recent downswing. I've been downgraded to 2-2, and that's okay. It's where I belong with my caliber of play. So this is a 2-2 game. It's fresh at the table in this particular hand. We're $295 effective, so really I've just, like, lost the blinds to an orbit, basically. And I don't really have any reads on anybody. And this hand's going to start off with an under-the-gun limp.
Nice.
Classic play. And it folds all the way around to me in the button, which I'm already like, that's pretty weird. And so I can go ahead and open it up to $12 with what is pretty much the bottom of my button open range. I have ace of clubs, five of diamonds.
Sure. Yeah. I might even fold this with a limp. I don't think it's unreasonable to just fold this with a limp. Obviously, if it folds all the way to me on the button, I'm just opening a, you know, insane variety of hands. You want to take blinds down. You want to win pots pre-flop, and you want to play in position.
Yeah. So... yeah, but I felt fine about this. The small blind, who I'm already pretty sure somehow after one orbit, I'm already kind of sure this guy's an OMC. Goes ahead and calls my raise, and then the big blind gets out of the way, and the under the gun limper now limp re-raises, so I'm already like about to toss my cards in the muck once I see him cutting out raising chips, but then I see he only raises to $25. Well, I literally don't think I have any folds against this size, so I go ahead and toss my chips in, as does the OMC.
Yeah, it's annoying because I don't really want to play ace five offsuit against two players. So it is just kind of annoying to have to, but yes, I mean, I do think we just have to call. We have so many flops that we can smash, even given that we're playing against a three bet. We're on the button, you know, just a real bummer.
I know. I'm like, man, I mean, look, usually when somebody limp re-raises, it's aces or kings. Occasionally you'll see ace king or ace queen or ace jack. So I'm already not loving it, but I also, when I do see that happen, which isn't that common, but isn't that rare? I almost never see it for this small size. Usually the limp re-raises is for a either, you know, quote unquote normal three bet size, or even more often it's like exorbitantly large.
Yeah.
You know, they'll be like, they'll make it like 80 or something. They'll be like, gotcha.
I actually had a guy in a 2-5 game recently, limp under the gun, re-raise enormous over a raise and a call, and then when the other two players folded, showed aces and said, I didn't think people would put me on this hand if I played it this way. And I was like, wow. Well, please stay at this table.
Amazing. So, yeah, I don't know. I was kind of like, you know, this could be some bullshit kind of raise, or it could be aces or ace or kings or ace king, but I wasn't really too concerned. I didn't love my hand. I didn't love the situation, but I was fine to be on the button. So we go ahead and see a flop.
Yep.
And I should note the OMC here, or the small blind who I did not know for sure was an OMC, only has a starting sack of $60.
So he's got about 35 left, but then you and the limp re-raiser both have around a little over 250 behind at this point.
275. Yeah.
I had a 265. A little, but yes, let's not split hairs and see a flop.
Yeah, so the flop comes ace of hearts, queen of clubs, five of diamonds. So we make top and bottom.
Don't we have the five of diamonds?
I'm sorry, five of hearts.
Perfect. Okay, so there is a flush draw on the board, but we've got two pair. That's it's about as good as we can hope for with ace five off.
Yep. No, I'm not too worried. And I'm sorry. I guess I'm wrong. It's not the five of diamonds or the five of hearts, because I know there was no flush draw on the flop. So it is. It must be the five of spades.
Okay. It's a five.
It is a five, an offsuit five. It's a rainbow board. We have top and bottom. Very dry texture. We are very likely ahead of most hands here, given that we block pocket aces pretty heavily. Most of his limp re-raising range, that's like ace king or kings, we're ahead of, and we could also be ahead of his random bullshit. And the small blind now checks, and the under the gun player c-bets this board for $25.
Okay.
What do you like here?
I think you can't really go wrong. I think you're short enough where you should be able to get the money in on future streets. It's also worth noting that I believe from the stack sizes you've described, the small blind jamming wouldn't reopen the action.
Correct.
So it's not like anything crazy is going to happen. And maybe, you know, maybe that's an argument for calling, because like this OMC-esque player might just like sigh, like shrug and stick the rest of his money in if we just call and he's got like ace jack or ace 10 or something like that. Whereas he might not, if we made it like, you know, 75 or 100 here, he might kind of rightly realize he's behind. So maybe that's an argument for calling. Obviously, our hand can use some protection against like other ace-x, because we have, you know, pretty weak aces up. We don't want to see a queen. We don't really want to see, any Broadway cards hit. Can definitely make for some tricky situations. Sure. So I think I'm pretty happy going either way, but I might lean towards a call just to try and keep the small blind player in there.
Yeah, I do call, and I at the time I was thinking, yeah, it might be nice to keep the small blind player in there, but at the end of the day, he has very little money. It's probably not relevant. Like, it might be better to just build a pot now with plans of getting it in on the turn.
Yeah.
Versus like an ace king type holding, but I don't know. I think it can't be that bad to call. I do think I prefer a raise in hindsight, but I do just call here.
And one other quick note, you know, the other thing is, you know, if the small line player does wind up getting it in, then it also might make it harder to get the money in, where we'll sort of be betting into a dry side pot, which for those of you who may not know, a dry side pot is when one player is all in, so you've got a main pot, and there's basically no money or very little money in the side pot between you and between two other players who have, you know, quite a bit behind. The conventional wisdom would say that it's very rare that players bluff into dry side pots, because you can't bluff the player who is already all in, so it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to bluff when the side pot is so small. So having said that, maybe I like actually raising a little bit more.
I agree, and I think that's a really good point. And longtime listeners of the show will know that Mike hates playing dry side pots. I have literally no idea how to play a dry side pot. I always screw them up 9 times out of 10. Even when it seems like you shouldn't be able to screw them up, I manage to. One of my worst memories is punting the chip lead at a tournament in a dry side pot. So,
so does the small blind player come along or stick the rest of the stack in?
So the small blind player goes. I'm sort of preambling to the small blind player sticking his stack in with a sigh in a traditional OMC fashion.
And you both call, I assume.
Of course.
Yeah.
What are we?
Okay, so we added about 105 to the pot, so looking around 180, and there's going to be about 230 behind you for you and the under the gun player here.
Yep.
Okay, and we're off to a turn.
Oh, but there's something fun that happens here. There's a bit of a question, maybe some speech play, or I don't know, something that's worth noting. After the small blind player puts his 35 stack in, the under the gun says all in after thinking for a bit. And then the dealer says, you can't do that. And, you know, we proceed. I don't know if he actually was like, I don't know what this is. If this is like a legitimate lay he tried to shove or he doesn't know, I don't know. But
yeah, it's 2-2. I would think he probably is just trying to put it in. And that kind of, that does narrow his range, right? I mean, I'd be inclined to think he probably doesn't have a hand like pocket kings, pocket jacks, or random BS. More weighted towards like an ace king type of holding, possibly, you know, aces, ace queen. But what are we going to do about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So that's just worth noting. And I thought that was very odd because the turn comes to 7 of hearts and under the gun, I'm waiting for him to put his stack in, but he thinks for a bit and then bets $35.
Okay.
Which is why I kind of think it was maybe more speech play. I don't know. But at this point, I'm thinking I can raise all in is my only size if I'm going to raise. And I do think if I raise, the turn is a pretty big brick, right? The 7 of hearts.
Absolutely.
My thought is like, there's not really any draws out there to get value from with a raise, especially because the raise would be so big, they're going to be getting kind of a lousy price. And I think it's more likely that I can just get like a hand like ace king to continue to value own itself. So I figure I should just call here. I don't know. What do you think about that?
I think that makes a lot of sense, especially given sort of the side pot nature. If the villain is sort of, you know, a thinking player, or I don't know, you don't need to be a thinking player to know how to play dry side pots better than us. So I think it's definitely a raise looks very, very strong in a call. You know, you can be calling with all sorts of hands, especially given the price you're being laid. I mean, you could call with like heart draws, combo easy draws, anything like literally anything. So yeah, I think I agree with that logic at this point. Once we call the flop, I think we do we're so relatively shallow given the multi-way action that it's super easy to get it in on the river. So yeah, I'm pretty happy to call. There's also not a ton of scare cards.
Yeah. Even a heart is not that big a scare card in my opinion, which actually the river does come the 6 of hearts.
I agree. So we call. We're off to a river. We've got 250 in the pot and like 200, a titch under 200 behind, and the river comes the 6 of hearts. Yeah, it completes all sorts of draws, but like not really.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't complete any likely draws. I mean, how is one of us showing up here with 8-9, like, you know, or whatever? Like, it's just really weird. So just to review, we have ace of hearts, queen of clubs, 5 of diamonds. The turn is the 7 of hearts, and the river is the 6 of hearts.
Yeah, and we've got ace 5 offsuit. We don't have a heart, so we're not blocking that. But yeah, I agree, right? And I wouldn't even necessarily be concerned, but there might be more cause for concern if the river was like the 10 of hearts, and then like a hand like king jack, which actually kind of makes sense as a bluff if villain is ever running this sort of multi-street bluff with a gutter, which is unlikely but possible in this sort of live low stakes environment.
Yeah, I mean, I would be more. I think this card is pretty brickish, and villain goes ahead. We stand to have the best hand most of the time here, and villain goes ahead and uses the same size of $35 here on the river, which, you know, I think makes his hand pretty face up to ace king or ace jack.
Yep. So, I think we just have to put him in then.
Yep, that's what we do. We shove, and he goes deep into the tank. And I'm just sitting here praying for a call. And then he absolutely owns my soul and holds ace-king suited face up.
Well, I mean, you know, that's that is it. The shove just still looks so strong. Like going call, call, shove over a river bat, it does just look so strong. It feels like it's definitely weighted towards value. So great fold from him, and it's still a fairly dry side pot, right? I mean, there's only 70 bucks in the side pot.
Well, 105.
Yes,
Well,
right, 105, including his bet. But there's a pretty substantial main pot of like 180, 190. So yeah, good fold from Villain, and I assume you beat Mr. Small Blind OMC as well.
We lose to pocket fives.
Ah, the grumble grumble min shove with the bottom set.
Love it.
Well, I mean, yeah, I think fine overall, but yeah, would love a flop raise, but.
I think that was the biggest misplay of the hand was not raising flop, and I think we probably get his stack if we raise flop.
Yeah, I think that makes sense, but it's still weird. So, you know, multi-way poker,
Yep,
as we like
absolutely.
to talk about. Who knows what's going on with multi-way poker?
Yeah. So I don't know, I'm not super upset with how I played that one, but I definitely think some missed opportunities.
Okay. Well, I've got a bit of a weird hand coming up. I feel like I misplayed this hand on most streets.
Nice, we love
Just
that.
the way we like it. In this hand, we're playing 2-5. I've been trying to take some shots at 2-5 where appropriate. 2-5 game looked great. I like sat down at 1-3 and like doubled up immediately when, you know, limped one. I won a large pot with 10-6 offsuit and a limped pot. It was just great. I don't even like I just got called by utter garbage when I flopped a straight when I turned a straight. Like it's, you know, it's living the good life, right? And I've been trying the 2-5 lineup looks good. I've kind of realized, you know, it's probably okay to just because people do kind of size down their opens relative to the blind. You know, been I usually buy in around like 600 bucks at 2-5. It's a $1,000 cap. And you know, people are usually opening to like 20 with no straddle, so I feel like I do have kind of enough to play around with when I do that. So and it's not that di and then I kind of realized, well, it's not that different from buying in for 500 at 1-3, so I may as well just try and play this 2-5 game when it looks reasonably decent.
Totally makes sense. Yeah.
So in this hand, I make a bit of a loose open, I would say, from UTG plus one, with queen nine of clubs. I think this is right on the edge. I think it's pretty marginal, but probably opening it sometimes. I
Yeah,
open to 20.
I think this is just fold, to be honest with you, but okay.
Yeah, and
But yeah.
I checked some live ranges, and it is on the fringes of like you could open this some, you know, if you have like really weak players or tight players behind, which is not the case. A lot of multi-way pots here, a lot of people with like super high VPips, so a lot of players who are playing a ton of hands. So I agree, I think this should just be a fold. I was, you know, getting into the swing of things, and I was like, yeah, it's a suited queen,
Yeah.
connected, flick it in.
Connected-ish. I connected-ish. I will say, like, Queen Nine suited is a hand I personally love to play. I like it a lot better than King Nine suited, because the problem with King Nine suited is you're often dominated by Ace King, versus Queen Nine suited doesn't necessarily have that concern as much. Obviously, Ace Queen is out there, but I do like, and you can make some decent straights with it, and it's got good playability post flop. I do like that hand. I just think probably can lay it down from the earliest of positions, but can't fault you for having a little fun. So.
Yeah, well, and I would say Queen Nine and King Nine suited are both instantly hitting the muck if there is a three bet coming in. So not that different, especially when opening from early position. But there's no three bet here. Instead, there is no less than four callers. This is going to be the middle position who is next to act, the cutoff, the small blind, and the big blind all call.
So you're regretting your decision about now.
Yes, but I am all of a sudden realizing it was a great decision to play 2-5 as we have now capped out the rake, which is, you
Yes.
know, we just love to do. Encore Boston Harbor, of course, taking quite a hefty rake. The pot is now up to 100 minus the full 10, so it's around 90. I was the effective stack to start this hand at 750, so playing quite deep, and five ways we are headed off to a flop of queen 7-3 with two spades. So that's queen of spades, seven of diamonds, three of spades, and immediately we see some problems with playing queen nine suited.
Yeah, You probably hate this board, I would think.
Yeah, and it checks to me.
Seems like you should check.
And I do check. I think it
Okay.
makes a lot of sense.
So you're out of position to two players, right? So,
Yep, the small blind and big blind are in the hand, but then the middle position and the cutoff are both in position on me. So we're sitting right in the middle.
yeah, I mean, I think generally speaking, as multi-way spots go, I mean, so if you were out of position to like three people, right, you're almost never betting, probably. You're almost
Right.
never leading up. But when you start, as you're kind of right in the middle, you can probably start to bet a little more. In general, and on this board specifically, that's so disconnected, you might start to bet a higher volume of hands. Do you think that's fair?
Yeah,
Than you
and
would.
I think I can definitely have some hands to bet here. Like, I can definitely start betting some flush draws, especially those that kind of wrap around the queen and like block some queens that my opponents can have, and like good queens and like over pairs. Still not like betting a ton of hands, and I definitely want to save some of those flush draws for like check raising and some combinations of over pairs to be check raising with as well. Especially like those without spades. But yes, I agree. I could probably do more betting. However, I don't really think that Queen 9 is really ever going to want to bet on this
No,
board.
definitely not. And we say you're doing a higher volume of betting, to clarify for listeners, like you're doing very little betting generally here. We're just saying you might do more than you would normally in a multi-way pot, which is still going to be not a lot.
Yeah.
I don't like a bet with your specific holding. I think, we just want to start to think like what are we doing to our range here when we check a bit, that sort of thing. So.
Yep, absolutely. I got, I do check. Middle position checks as well, which is good because they are behind me. And then the cutoff bets 50, which is basically half pot.
Okay, and does it fold back to you?
Nope, the big blind calls.
Okay.
And I decide to call here. I think it's a bit too early to lay down top pair.
Yeah, it depends. I mean, it's pretty player dependent. I think if you were playing in like a good like a game with some solid players, you could probably fold here, to be honest. When big blind calls like next or not next to act, but calls with two people behind, he should be pretty strong. He shouldn't just like players will show up here with a seven, but he shouldn't have a seven, right? He should have at least a queen or a flush draw. In which case, if he has a flush draw, cutoff probably has a queen. So it's not the best spot for you. Like it's already pretty dicey, I think. I mean, if your players are super loose and don't care, like yeah, you can never fold here. But
Yeah, I didn't have a ton of reads on either of these players. They both struck me as kind of typical live regs at this point. So can definitely be beat here a good portion of the time, but I'm also, I'm given that it's multi-way, like I have a good price. I'm still beating flush draws and any like random stuff. Like I would also say like the cutoff betting is a little bit less concerning than if like the player to my left had bet, because if the player
definitely.
directly to my left had bet, that shows a lot more strength because there's still a player left to act, versus I think the player who's the most in position can do a fair amount of stabbing.
Yeah, I guess like I there's just this is just going to be such a hard hand, like a hard thing to navigate. You're going to be in between versus two players with stronger ranges than you with a marginal hand. It's like it's going to suck.
Oh, well,
That's just
just wait until
all
Futures
right.
Streets. As I said, I don't think I played this hand very well. I don't really know what I was thinking, so we'll keep moving, and I do decide to call here, and the player behind me does fold, which I kind of expected once they. And that's like helpful also when you're in the middle, is if the players if you know, it's important to consider where the raiser is, and then who like kind of how people to the left of the raiser navigate, because once I check and then the player to my left checks, you'd think that their range is quite weak. Because if they had a strong hand, they'd probably be more inclined to bet because it's checked to them past the raiser.
I would say their hand, yeah. I mean, especially they shouldn't have that many check raises with only one person left to act. So I agree with that.
Right. We're up to about 240 in the pot. There's about 680 behind, and the turn is where some interesting, where Hero makes some interesting decisions. The turn comes off the Ace of Diamonds. Which brings
Okay.
in a backdoor diamond draw. So the board is now Queen of Spades, Seven of Diamonds, Three of Spades, ace of diamonds, hero's holding queen nine of clubs, and the big blind checks, and I decide this is a great spot to lead out.
Interesting. Why?
Well, I think this card really hits my range very well. And I think that there are actually some hands that I probably can lead out here with, but I don't think that mine is a particularly good one.
Yeah, it's interesting. So what are you, first of all, what's your sizing that you take here?
So I bet 100.
You bet 100 into 250, base 260?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so I mean, what would you be doing this with for value?
I mean, ace queen, if I have it here. Like ace queen with no spades. Aces, possibly. Well, I guess I might check raise aces a fair amount.
I think you probably are check raising aces here, I would think.
Yeah.
You might even check raise some ace queen.
Maybe pocket queens.
Yeah, I think pocket queens is legitimate. Although, it's weird. Like, this is the thing, is like, you only have slivers of all of these hands, because I do think you check raise aces, queens, and ace queen at some frequency.
Yeah, although I don't love check raising queens, just because, like, it's tough to put your opponents on hands that are going to continue to, like, sure, a pretty sizable check raise. And then, you know, that if I have a hand like pocket queens, it unblocks hands like ace, x of spades, which are definitely going to continue to this, like, turn donk and might otherwise check back, having, like, picked up top pair. Mm-hmm. But I don't really like it with my hand.
But here's the thing. Leading tends to be good when you have a large volume of hands that connect with the card. And you expect that most of your opponent's range will be downgraded by this card.
Yeah, which I think is...
I think the latter is true, but I don't think the former is true. Because, I mean, we just listed... Not that we listed some hands that you can have, but like you have to remember, you check called the flop here. Like, most of your range is going to be, you know, other queen x,
right?
And possibly some flush draws. I mean, I guess you could play like ace x this way, ace x with a flush draw on the flop this way, in which case this would be good for you. So, I don't know. I think that like, it's interesting to lead here. I guess I'm convincing myself I don't hate it. But
maybe especially like ace king or ace jack of spades, like a good ace, because like a wheel ace of spades is probably significantly worse to lead here, because like you're I don't know that you need to. But maybe it is good, because I guess if you have ace x of spades, and if I have ace x of spades, then my opponents really shouldn't have any ace x.
Yeah, I actually really do think that like that's, you know, kind of neat to lead here with those types of hands.
But of course the wheel and the lower ace x of spades, one would think that I should be like check raising
a decent amount. Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know that you really have that many cards to lead here, and as to your point, this hand is not the hand.
Yeah, but I do think it's interesting that I could have sort of a leading range here, because I do think that like this card is a scare card, and my And the cutoff may check back a lot. So when I have like hands that want to get value, you know, I can possibly balance this. If I have like queen x of diamonds, maybe this is can like lead here sometimes.
As a bluff?
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, I don't know. So yeah, I don't know what my bluffs are really, but
what are your logical bluffs here? As a acquaintance of ours used to say, what are your logical bluffs in this spot? And I don't really know.
Yeah, maybe weaker flush draws.
Yeah.
That can be played maybe. As like double, like multi barrels.
Possibly. I don't know. But like your hand specifically, let's focus on your hand here. I mean,
well, we don't need to do that. No, I agree. I don't know what I'm trying to accomplish either. Like, I don't really think I'm getting many better hands. I mean, I shouldn't really be getting any better hands to fold or worse hands to call. And I don't really want to play my hand as, like, a multi-street bluff. Because, like, if I, like, jammed the river, then I could probably get some, like, better hand. Or, like, not jammed, but, like, bet sizable on the river, I could probably get some queen x to fold.
I have a question for you. What if you checked here and then cut off bet?
Well, I think if the big blind called, then we'd fold for sure.
Right, okay. But what if cutoff bets and big blind folds? What do you do? Would you turn your hand into a bluff?
I don't think so.
Would you just muck or would you call?
I might call. Once like big blind mucks, I might call because like then I think cutoff's hands can definitely have a whole lot of spades in it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really then I don't really understand what this line is even.
Yeah, I don't know. I just thought it was like I did this and I was like, huh, I don't really know what I was doing, and I don't think I played this right. But I always think it's interesting. I am trying to learn a little bit more about donking and try and incorporate it a little bit more into my game. But this is most certainly not the place for it.
Okay, what
But I do
happened?
think it's nice to have it because like I do think that like this ace should be a donkable card.
Absolutely. I will say though, what's kind of funny to me about this, I'm sorry, I'm going to pick on you a little bit here. Like a lot of times, like there's, it's called a donk bet because like it's done by donks who don't know what they're doing and are just clicking buttons. And like usually that's what it is. And in this situation, that's what it is. So.
That's true. No, that's absolutely true. Because like even like solvers say that you should lead on like in certain spots with parts of your range.
Totally.
And so I've been trying to find those spots, but sometimes this may happen to you too in poker if you would like to burn your bankroll and if you aspire to burn your bankroll, you too may learn concepts and in an effort to apply them, do so poorly.
Absolutely. That's part of the learning process.
Well,
So, what does cutoff do?
both players call.
Oh God. Okay. Well, you're just, I mean, now you can turn your hand into a bluff for sure.
I mean, maybe.
You're in last place. You're definitely in last place.
Well, we're off to the river. And the river is going to come a pretty big brick. It's the five of hearts.
Okay. I mean, I guess you are not in last place to a flush draw, I will point out. You are beating some, but it's unlikely both players have a flush draw.
Yeah, so big blind checks, and I just decide to kind of, I'm like, wow, what did I just do on the turn? I don't know. I have successfully bet to see where I'm at, and upon completion, have no idea where I'm at. I've really done the oldest live donk trick in the book. So I decide to just give up and check here, thinking, well, maybe if the cutoff checks, I win here some amount of the time.
Probably not.
So
Okay.
I check. I mean, do you think I should be like betting here? And if so, I mean, there's no way I can just like jam here in a multi-way pot, right? Like we basically have a pot size bet behind. For reference, the board is Queen of Spades, Seven of Diamonds, Three of Spades, Ace of Diamonds, Five of Hearts. There's about 550 in the pot, and we've got just under 600 behind. This is a multi-way pot. The big blind, the cutoff, and myself, the original opener in UTG plus one, are all in this pot. Hero's holding Queen Nine of Clubs. We've got second pair, crappy kicker.
What would you do with ace queen?
Well, I mean, I guess I definitely bet. I don't know. I don't know if I can really. I don't know if I can jam. I really don't know like how multi-way spots work. I guess I'd probably bet like 200.
I think you could jam. Like, it's not an overbet, right?
It is a slight overbet.
I mean, okay, but it's like basically, I think you are allowed to pot size jam in a multi-way pot. I don't think it's like, I mean, it's something you should do very rarely. Like, it's like a narrow branch of the game tree, but we are on a twig of the game tree, so who knows?
Yeah, I mean, is there even a game tree for what we're doing?
Yeah, I mean, I think that if you would jam with ace, what would you do with queens? Like, would you jam queens?
I mean, that's the question. I guess the question is, do I have any jams? And I don't know that I'm confident enough in like multi-way. Like, I probably wouldn't, like, without looking it up or thinking about it. Like, I try to not. I don't know. I try to subscribe to the theory of like betting smaller in multi-way pots, but it's weird because like that is usually considered like on the flop, and here we are at the river three ways with all three players having put in money on every street. So,
Right. I mean,
does that weight players' hands so much towards like strong hands that suddenly we're able to bet big, even though the same theory should hold true, right? Where both players are like responsible for defending to my aggression and therefore we don't, our betting is inherently polarized, so I don't know.
yeah, I think so. I think you are inherently fairly polar, going to be polar if you bet here. I will say, big blind's range is quite capped. At this point, I don't think big blind can have a particularly strong hand, which is, after just calling twice. I do think that cutoff, the only strong hand cutoff can have is ace queen, and cutoff may not have it very often. I do think cutoff will raise ace queen on the turn some amount of the time.
Right.
So I think like if we're constructing these players' ranges here, like maybe one of them has a, like best case scenario is like one of them has a missed flush draw, the other one has king queen, right? That's sort of your best case scenario here.
Yeah.
Maybe somebody has like queen seven. Maybe. I don't know.
That's I feel like queen seven should definitely get like a raise. Yeah, maybe cutoff can have like queen seven suited, but there's only one combo of queen seven suited also.
Yeah, so it's, you know, it's kind of eh. So I guess, I mean, here's the thing. So you're up against one, like, we don't know exactly which player is which, but one of them probably has like junk, like is very bottom heavy, and the other one is probably doesn't have a lot of strong hands. It's probably fairly mid heavy.
Right, but I might be good if that's the case.
I don't think so. Like, right? Like, what are you beating? What are you, how do you win here? Like, what are the hands they have to have?
Like, if both players have flush draws, I win.
Okay, but that's like, yes, that is plausible but unlikely.
If one player has a flush draw and one player has a weaker queen, which is possible.
It's possible.
If a player has like queen eight, queen six suited, I win. If one player somehow got here with like a seven or like pocket tens or something, which I would say is also unlikely but possible.
Yeah, I also think it's possible like someone could have like ace x of spades maybe,
and I don't think that hand's folding is the thing
even to a jam.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, okay, I mean, I guess the question is like, I'm trying to put your hand to the side for a sec and just think, like, what are we doing with our thick value, which is going to be ace queen, pocket queens, and that's it.
Yeah, maybe aces with a spade.
Sure.
Yeah. Sometimes, if we have some slivers of overbears.
Yeah, I mean, so, and I guess, so it's like, what are we doing with those hands? Then what are we doing with, like, if we show up here ourselves with some weaker ace-x, what are we doing? So, and maybe it's the same thing with both of those groups of hands. I don't know. But
well, weaker aces, I do feel like a hand like weaker ace, like especially like if we show up here with like ace-x of spades, we can probably check here.
Check call.
Yeah.
Or like try to pick off a bluff.
Yeah. Or just like even check fold and kind of think like cutoff's shown so much strength. If he checks, then like our ace x should win.
Right. I think if you go check and cutoff bets like a reasonable size, it's pretty hard to be good.
Yeah. Like right. I think maybe like ace x of spades, and especially ace x of spades because it kind of blocks those some flush draw portions.
So it'll block some with whatever you're
kicking. I think ace x can be like one of those great classic Crush Live Poker situations of check with the intention to check fold and also with the intention to win a lot.
Yeah. So, but yeah, so if you have, you know, some thick value here yourself, if you have ace queen, if you have pocket queens, you know, we're on a narrow branch of the game tree. We don't have to come up with that many hands. Are you gonna rip it?
Like, I guess I should. I mean, it seems like you maybe have convinced me that we should be ripping those hands.
I think so. Like, versus this range of, like, you know, if we want to put kind of a weaker ace, like ace-x of spades, or like a king-queen in a tough spot, you know, because if... I mean, it's questionable, like, does king-queen call to a large bet here? Like, maybe. Like, I think it's sort of marginal, which is why I kind of do like to shove here.
Right. Of course, if we shove this hand,
although if big blind, like it's gonna be hard for cutoff to call with king queen with big blind behind.
And so big blind, so maybe it makes sense to kind of to like shove it. And I mean, if we want to play more think exploitatively too, it might make sense to even shove with like a lot of bluffs here, because cutoff is in the middle, and big blind's range is so capped. Given that they've like done this weird double flatting thing,
mm-hmm.
like maybe it makes sense. Maybe it does make sense just kind of like put max pressure on, because it's very hard for cutoff to call with big blind behind, and then big blind's hands should just be not good.
Yeah, I don't know if you're thinking about this exploitatively. I don't even know if you're necessarily being exploitatively here, in that like we're on this narrow portion of the game tree where you have lead on the turn, you don't have that many hands. You have some thick value. You have some bluffs that have now not realized, or you know, now have no equity. You have to pick some bluffs to, you know, balance. You should have some give ups. I would give up with spades here almost always, actually, because I just think you block the folds. I think maybe these like lower spades you can bluff sometimes, but the larger spades not. Like maybe you want to bluff like a suited connectory type hand, but I think your hand's actually pretty good as a bluff to shove. With like, cause you do block the hand that you're most concerned about, which is strictly ace queen. Having a queen is great. I think you're not going to be good very often. So I actually like shipping it at this point.
Well, I think that's all helpful analysis, but I do check. I kind of think, well, maybe I'm good here once in a while and I don't know. Like I just, you know, and it is just one of these things where I really put myself in this situation by opening a marginal hand pre-flop, making a very bad turn play, and then I was just like, well, I have no idea what to do here, so I'm just gonna check and hope I'm good. I think you're probably right, this makes sense as a bluff, because we should have a lot of fold equity, we should be able to put a lot of hands in tough spots, and we probably do want to be doing that with thick value. It's also just not something I'm super practiced in terms of multi-way, you know, understanding how to play these multi-way rivers. But anyway, I check, cutoff checks back, and we win.
Oh my god. All right. Well, I take back everything I said.
I mean, so big blind does show because it goes encore Boston Harbor. It always goes around when there's no betting on the river. Left of the button shows first. He shows King Deuce of spades. Nice. So he had the spade draw. I announce a queen and the like cutoff just shakes his head and mucks. So.
Wow.
So we win.
All right, I take it back. You played it perfectly.
So somehow we probably did get max value that hand, and I don't think it was correct.
You played it perfectly. Well done.
So that's my, I mean, wow. Yeah. I was just right. Like shocked.
Cool. Yeah.
Well, let's move on from that hand as quickly as possible.
Okay, yeah. All right, so this is another 2-2 hand. Same session, different table. It turned out that first table I sat down at was absolute nit city, so I moved to a new table. I think that's always important, but extra important when you're playing in a highly raked environment. So.
Yeah.
In this hand, we're going to be 400 effective with a villain who has sat down relatively recently. So we do not have reads on this villain. And the villain is going to be in the under the gun position. We are eight-handed. They open it up to $12, which people have been opening anywhere from 10 to 15. Sometimes it's limp dependent, sometimes it's not. I don't read much into this. And it folds all the way to me in the big blind, where I'm sitting with Jack of Spades, Nine of Clubs, which I think is relatively cuspy, but probably okay to call.
Yeah, and I would say I would agree. I would say the one that I've been convinced recently that like you don't actually need to defend that many hands in the big blind, specifically live, because the rake is high and players are not opening small. Like when if you're playing like online and a player opens to like three big blinds and you're in the big blind with Jack Nine offsuit, you should definitely call.
Yeah, it's a square call.
It's also because it's also often shorter handed. Yeah, definitely a call. But when it's like to six big blinds and then like another like full big blind is being taken out of the pot to rake, and it was like eight handed and the villain was under the gun, it starts getting a lot more questionable. Just because like, you know, and I've even kind of been convinced to stop defending like offsuit ace-x, where it's like, yes, absolutely, offsuit ace-x is like a good hand to defend a lot when a player's opening in late position to a small sizing. But once the positions start opening out and the players start opening to larger sizings, you're just like not actually, you're starting to not get the odds that you want.
Yeah. No, I think that's fair. I considered folding this hand.
But also, I'd honestly rather do it with Jack-9 than with like ace-8 off, so.
Yeah, you know.
So because you know, I like playing connected cards that aren't like easily dominated and can make good straights. So Jack Nine certainly fits that bill, and I personally would probably call here, but in theory, I wouldn't be shocked if you're supposed to just muck.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't feel like. I guess I should say every decision in this hand was very marginal. So.
Well, you know, coming off of the last hand, that shouldn't surprise our viewers. If you want decisions that aren't marginal, I'm sorry.
Can't help you. You have nothing to recommend. Okay, so the flop comes out 10 of hearts, 9 of hearts, 7 of hearts. So monotone flop, we flop middle pair and a gut shot. No flush draw for us.
Okay.
And I'm gonna check here a lot. I don't think this is a particularly good board for me because I'm a lot less likely to have a flush than he is because this board blocks a number of my flushes that I would have defending in the big blind. It doesn't block that many. It's not as bad as like if it was like 10, 8, 6. I almost have like no flushes, but
Well, I don't know if you're defending, and if you're defending like sort of an online range, then I think you should be defending, which is like tons and tons and tons of like garbage suited hands, like, and especially in like low rake environments. Like, if you ever look at like a tournament pre-flop chart, you're just like defending this disgusting range of
right.
suited hands. So it does depend on the situation on what your defending range looks like, but yes, definitely. I mean, here I agree. Although I
Yeah, for sure.
don't necessarily think he has more flushes because. You can do some calling in the big line with like ace queens as good as ace queen suited.
Yeah, I probably am not doing that much, but if at all. But I do think I don't think he has that many more flushes than me, but I guess more what I'm saying is like this isn't a board I want to lead. Whereas I might lead a board like, if it's like ace king 10 or maybe not, or like ace king 9 of hearts, I might lead that board, because it's blocks all of his flushes from running through.
Sure. Although I would say, yeah, our hand is probably not the best
Not
candidate
with
for
my hand
that.
anyway, but
But
yeah.
yes, I'm happy checking here. I think that's a fair point.
Yeah, I guess my point is I'm always checking, and he checks back, which I would suspect he will do with a decent number of hands.
Yeah, this is not a board. This isn't a board that's great for him either, because you have a lot more like two pairs, straights, stuff like that.
Yeah, so the turn now rolls off the six of diamonds, so it puts out a one-liner to a straight, not a straight I'm particularly concerned he can have, but it is a straight I can have. And I do actually think that we can get some value here from single heart hands and possibly some 7x if he has like A7 or something.
Yes, although I don't think we're going to get a whole lot of value from 7x because most of the 7x he has should be solidly ahead of us at this point, like 8-7, 7-6.
Yeah,
So.
possibly, probably just one heart hands for the most part is what I'm looking to get value from here, or just, a non-believing type of ace king, something like that, like
Yeah,
ace queen.
I like betting here. I'm happy to bet. Definitely can get value. Might even fold out better hands occasionally if he gets got like queen 9 or king 9. He might talk himself into a fold, so I don't mind. I don't mind checking or betting here, but I think
Yeah, so
betting
I do
makes a lot of
bet.
sense.
What sizing would you choose here if you were to bet?
I think small. If we're trying to get value from a lot of those hands, I think small makes sense. I also think this board is pretty good for our range. Like, we should have a lot more 8x to your point. So I think we, when the board is generally favorable for our range, and especially when we don't really have a nut advantage, which I'm not sure that we do. I think we should just bet small.
Yeah, I agree, and I'm pretty unhappy with the sizing I took here, which I did bet 15. I think I should have bet 10.
Okay, and I don't think it's. I think it's also weird when the pot is like so small in like these live games. It's like, it's tough. It's tough. It can be tough to bet small without using like weird sizings. So
Yeah.
yeah, maybe betting 10 is better than betting 15, but I don't think it's that much of a difference.
I agree. Yeah, River is a pretty
Oh,
interesting.
villain calls?
Yes, villain calls. I'm sorry. I lost.
Maybe villain min clicks us. Who knows?
Yes, no, villain just calls, which I'm not unhappy with. And the river is where things get pretty interesting. The river comes the eight of hearts,
Oof.
putting a straight on the board, which we beat.
Right, but it also adds the fourth heart. So there's now a one line, two one liners to straight flushes.
Yep.
We do not. So we've got Jack nine, no heart. So we've got the Jack high straight.
Correct.
Interesting.
What do you want to do here?
I mean, maybe we bet fold here.
So we're trying to get called by worse.
Yeah, I mean, maybe we just get called by like some random two card hands. Like, if villain does
that just don't believe us.
Right, like maybe villain, you know, and it's so weird in these live games, and it is somewhat player dependent, I think, too, because like some players are so scared of flushes that like they might check back like pretty strong hands on the flop, right? Like hands like over pairs without a heart, hands like two pair or something like that might check back, and it's so player dependent. But with that said, those hands might just be like frustrated and call because they think we're just trying to buy it.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, so we want to use like a block sizing here, so it'd be like $15, like a same bet basically, you know. If we don't want to get exploited, it's probably we're not going to get exploited at this level, so it's fine. So
what about like betting big? Do you think we'd ever like bet big here?
Bet big. No. And the theory goes, like, I think that you're not ever really supposed to use a big sizing on these board, on like a board where like the board is a something, like it is a straight or it is a flush. You're not really supposed to use big sizing because you make it too easy for your opponent to just fold, because like if they want to call the chop, they need a really good price.
All right, but doesn't that mean that you, like, it's that, you know, it's interesting, because then like one would think that you could like use more bluffs. I guess you shouldn't use more bluffs. Yeah, okay. But yeah, no, because as you bet bigger, you're using more a higher percentage of bluffs, so I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not an expert on this.
I don't know the theory, but I believe you. You seem like you've studied it a little more. So yeah, I guess I like block folding.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe you're right. Maybe if we use just like a big size, like try really make it look bluffy, and if I'm in their spot versus a big bet, like what you're talking, like 40, 45, something like that.
Yeah, I feel like I've just gotten called so much when people are just like angry live players. They're like, ah, you're trying to buy me off a chop, and they just like call, and then you win.
Yeah, so.
But it's weird because also there's four, like that probably happens more in situations where there isn't also four to a flush. So maybe with those two pieces combined, maybe we are just supposed to block, like, always. Like, we're just supposed to take a small sizing. I would believe you if that's... that may be the case.
I don't know. This is a weird spot. I don't know. But I do end up checking, which... I don't know that that's really the right...
I don't really want to check call.
Yeah. I know. It's really bad. But I do check. So, I think block folding is a much better play.
And does villain bet?
Villain does bet. Villain now bets $35 into 50-ish.
Which I think is an okay sizing from villain, maybe. Like, once you check, maybe villain is allowed to take, like, a larger sizing just because we're, like, so capped.
Yeah.
So maybe villain is just allowed to take a larger sizing, and in the spirit of sort of, you know, making us, like, putting us in a tough spot.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you had bet, like, pot, I could just fold. But I think it's interesting with my hand, though, like, because I'm not calling to chop with my hand. I think that's what's sort of interesting about my hand. Like, if I'm just, even to this sizing, if I just have the board, I'm going to fold. I'm not feel bad about it.
I think that's totally reasonable. Like, if we have, like, 8x, right? 8x, if we have, like, 8-7, no heart, I agree. I think we can fold here.
Yeah, it'd be impossible to have 8-7 with a heart. So
we definitely had 8, then all our 8-7s are no hearts.
Yeah, yeah. No, I feel very comfortable that I could just fold to this size without a hand, but I beat the board, and that's what's sort of uncomfortable about this spot. So I don't know. I mean, what do you want to do?
Well, the interesting thing here is, like, what do we think our opponent called us with on the turn? Right? Because I feel like a lot of the range that we were trying to get value from was, like, a one-heart hand. And once we check this river, I think villain can value bet a lot of hearts. Like, he doesn't need to have the ace of hearts. And that makes it more difficult for us to call, right? Kind of working backwards, where we would say, if villain's value bet here is mostly high hearts, then it would make it easier to call because you would think they would have started betting those high hearts on the flop. If that makes sense. Because villain checked flop, it kind of, I would say, I would think it weights them away from higher hearts, but I think villain can value bet a lot, like most, like quite a lot of one heart hands here once we check.
I agree. I mean, I think it's pretty like my thought process was a little screwy here because I was like, well, I'm betting on the turn to get called by some one heart hands, but now I'm gonna not believe he has a heart. Like,
right, it is weird.
A little bit. I mean, I will say he shouldn't have any low hearts really, given the fact that he opened under the gun. So he like the lowest heart he should have would be the Jack of Hearts, and I don't even think he has much of that.
But who knows, right? I mean, maybe he's just got like, who, right? It is. You can never. Can never account too much for the live factor. You know, could villain have like ace six with the six of hearts here? Like, maybe. Sure.
And also Jack of Hearts, of course, is a straight flush. So.
Yeah, and of course ace six off, like ace six offsuit with the six of hearts is also a straight flush, right? So it's just,
yeah, I think probably this is a fold.
I think this is a super, probably a pretty close spot, I would have to think.
You think?
Maybe, like, I don't know, it's, did that logic earlier make sense, that like, you know, he doesn't necessarily, you know, if he was weighted towards high hearts, then we could probably call more, but mm-hmm. like, but because our hand just looks so weak, you can just bet here with a lot of hearts, so maybe I do like folding, maybe you're right.
I mean, but like, he doesn't have a lot of hearts, I guess, right. That's sort of the thing, is like, he really doesn't have a lot of hearts.
Right.
And I do think, unless he's like slow playing a flopped flush, like the flop nut flush that he could be slow playing. Other than that, like if he just has like ace king with the ace of hearts or king of hearts, you would think he would bet the flop.
Right. You would think that.
Yeah. Anyway.
So I see your point. So maybe it's like, but the, I guess your point is that now that you're kind of, yeah, it's, I think it's a tough spot. And that's, I think, why it's a tough spot. Cause I agree with you. Right. In theory, when he's opening under the gun and then checks back the flop, how does he have a flush here? Right. Unless he exactly flopped the nut flush.
Right. Yeah.
So maybe he's not. Maybe he has that, or I guess the only other option, like maybe he's got pocket sixes with a heart, and like he turns bottom set and so calls your bet and then rivers the straight flush.
Yeah,
like that's the only other hand that I can think of that might play this way, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's tough. I mean, we're getting like 2.5 to 1. We don't need to get that often. I think we show up here with a number of one heart hands ourselves, although a lot of like we probably show up a lot of like ace x or king x of hearts that we could probably check raise,
right? But that means we need some check calling hands too.
Right. I'm thinking like, do we show up here with like queen jack with the queen of hearts, something like that. You know, that's a combo draw on the turn.
Do we even want to check raise the king of hearts on a board with 7, 8, 9, 10 of hearts? I don't know if the king of hearts is strong enough to check raise.
Yeah, so maybe we check. We just, you know, check call with the king of hearts or like some queen of hearts. But like, I guess. I mean, is this, what are worse hands than mine that we show up here with, though? That's actually an interesting question. Like, are there worse hands?
I think so.
There is. There's hands that play the board.
Yeah, right. Exactly. We could bet that once he checks back flop, I think he can bet the turn because we're not too concerned about him having an eight for the straight. Mm-hmm. We can probably bet like sets, two pair pretty liberally on the turn and then just check fold.
We can even bet top pair on them.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I think betting like, ace 10 off, go wild. Queen 10, king 10 can probably bet and then give up. So maybe that means that we I don't know. Maybe so I think our hand is close to the middle, right? That means our hand is probably pretty close.
Yeah, so maybe we just flip a coin. But anyway, we do flick in the call, of course, because we are a station. And we are quickly shown ace of hearts, jack of club, or jack of something, ace jack off for he had the board covered six ways to Sunday. So
okay, so he had so he double got there.
Yeah, he super got there.
Okay, yeah, I don't think I can fault you for the river decision. I think it's pretty close, and I would agree that like villain, you would think that particular hand would be bet quite a lot on the flop.
You would think with so much equity, but I don't know. Maybe he doesn't want to get check raised.
Yeah, I mean, but like that hand can call a check raise.
Sure.
So.
Well, he told me he was afraid to bet the river because he was afraid I would check shove on him. And I was like, bruh, if I have it, I have it, you know?
Yeah. But it's interesting because like when I think this is a great, great hand because it really exemplifies between this and the last hand. I mean, we're really teaching all of our listeners I mean, first of all, we're not teaching you anything. Don't take our advice. But second of all, if we were teaching you something, we're teaching you how to play spots that you shouldn't, that you will very, very rarely find yourself in. Like, right. When you donk the turn into multiple players with a marginal hand, or when you wind up on a board that has four to the straight flush in multiple ways. So, please take our advice. Do not, you know, take our advice to heart at your own risk when you next wind up in these unnecessary spots.
Yeah, for sure. You know, the amount of chip, I think what's really great about this podcast is some of you out there probably foolishly have taken our advice and it's cost you chips. So not only do we burn our own bankrolls, but we spread the love and help you burn yours.
Yes, exactly. Well, let's keep things moving to our last hand. I'm sure y'all are ready for another, high equity hand from us. And we're going back to 1-3 for this hand. I've got the effective stack at around 540, so a little under 200 big blinds. Of course, the average open in the 1-3 game at Encore Boston Harbor is 15, so it kind of plays more like in between 1-3 and 2-5. Let's get right into it. This table, I'd say, is playing pretty average. A lot of like standard live players, which is I'm always happy to have. Boston has had a ton of visitors, just because, I don't know, people like coming to Boston. I don't really know why. I talk about this all the time. It's like, why do people come to Boston to see?
Yeah, well, it's a tech hub, I think. So like,
yeah, people just come to like see baseball games and stuff. So fine. But anyway, Hero.
Yeah, I don't know.
Is once again in UTG plus one with a hand that is unequivocally openable this time. Hero opens Ace of Spades, King of Diamonds.
Woo!
Yep, to 15 in UTG plus one. Nobody can fault me for this unless you're a total nit. However, similarly to last hand, we get three callers. We get a call from middle position, cutoff and button. So we got called by three players, and we are playing the rest of the hand fully out of position. So we're off to a pot with about 60 in the middle. That means we've got about... we've got still piles behind. We've got around 525. And the flop is going to come out pretty mediocre. Queen of spades, jack of clubs, eight of hearts. So we've got a gutter, and we've got two overs.
Yeah. I actually don't think this is like, you know, it's all right. Like, yeah. If you think about your range, like, yeah, I don't know. Like, this is an okay card to have on this board. It is an okay holding to have on this board. You know?
Absolutely. No, I agree. I don't hate it. But and as we discussed in a couple of hands prior, we are now out of position to three players. So I think I'm going to do a lot of checking here. And I do decide to check this particular hand.
What are you betting, if anything?
Possibly nothing.
Possibly nothing.
Because, I mean, even if I had... And it's kind of interesting because it is so many players. Like, there is a straight out there already. It is, like... like, I do think even, like, check raising, I probably have to be somewhat cautious, especially if it goes... if a lot of players are showing interest in the pot. You know, not that I would be, like, scared of 9-10 here, but it is just something to consider.
Yeah, absolutely. So
I check, and next to act, middle position bets 30, which is right around half pot. And if anyone else calls here, I'm probably folding.
I actually might consider check raising your particular holding, even if other players call. Just thinking about like what other check raises do you have? Is that like king 10 suited, maybe? But you're actually like you have a bit of a dearth of bluffs here, so you may need to get creative. And ace king is a fine option.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, I think I can also take hands like 8-9 and like maybe even like jack 10 suited and like bluff, because I think that middle position just gonna have a lot of queen x that can like multi-street bluffs will probably get him off, and also a hand like jack, you know, a hand like a pair and a gutter here just has a lot of equity against those hands.
I agree, but I guess like ultimately I think ace king might be like your most out bluff you can have, because this is the rainbow board, right? So
yeah, and I'd rather do it with a backdoor also. Like I'd probably rather do it with like a suited hand. But anyway, middle position player bets 30. It does fold back to me, and I decide to just call here. Do you kind of prefer a bluff here?
Well, let's think about this. I mean, middle position should be quite strong. Probably like should either have, obviously could have a bluff himself, but in terms of value, is going to have ace queen at the worst. Probably shouldn't and couldn't, of course, have queen jack. Probably should not be showing up here with queen eight or jack eight. Can have some 9-10. So it, their range isn't very wide in terms of value. And in terms of bluffs, I mean, I guess your hand does block a number of obvious bluffs. So it's interesting. I do think it's going to be pretty awkward to play a lot of turn to I think it's going to be very awkward to win this pot if you don't get there, if you just call here. I think it'll be quite challenging because it, it's you're not going to really be able to allowed to lead very much at all on like on turns. And if the turn goes check check, it's going to be really hard to get him off his hand on the river. Whereas if you check raise now, you can play a multi-street game. You could, so I don't know, but that's I don't think calling is terrible, but I might lean towards raising here.
Right. Yeah, I just kind of figured, like, I'm getting a good price. But I to your point also, I mean, I think it's one of these spots where it's like it's also a little uncomfortable sometimes if I hit an ace or a king, because like I do think villain can probably have both ace queen and king queen occasionally. So it's just gonna it, I agree, like it is gonna be tough to play unless I hit exactly a 10.
Yeah, that's fair. I guess actually, given that you maybe have some reverse implied odds here,
Right.
maybe you want to even just fold. I don't know, but that can't be right
No,
because
I don't think we can fold
you a lot
here,
of.
but I think like, and maybe it's okay to call with the understanding that sort of like if we hit like an ace and villain just like pots the turn in the river, that we can probably just fold like by the river.
With you just call, you mean?
Yeah, right.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, although I don't know.
It's just
I don't
an
know.
interesting spot because I don't.
I might like check raising here a decent amount, to be honest, because
But like,
if
what are
we
we
go
trying to get villain to fold?
nothing on this street, probably.
Right, it's
But I
just.
do, but I think like on future streets, like if the turn is a brick, I think we can barrel again. We might even be able to do like a double check raise type of move
It's
from
so interesting. I think this is a really. I mean, I didn't even really consider raising, to be honest. I was kind of like, well, I feel like I have better, probably have better bluffs, which maybe I don't, is what we're learning. Like. I guess Ace 10 is also probably a better bluff than Ace King, or like Ace 9 suited.
Why is why?
Well, it's a worse hand. I mean, it has less showdown value, and also it blocks 9 10.
Sure.
And like a hand like Ace 10 especially is also a double gutter.
Yep, also true. Yeah, Ace 10 might be a little bit better, but
Probably
you
still
probably
need bluffs, maybe. But the thing I'm kind of thinking about now is like, well, if. Yeah, like I totally hear your point. We're not expecting him to fold anything here, but it's kind of a situation where if if future streets brick, I don't think like we're gonna get our opponent off like any value. Like it's gonna be tough to get our opponent off like ace queen or better if that's kind of what we're thinking his hand is. And we know that live players are probably not bluffing enough, so it's hard to imagine, and it's hard to find bluffs on this board also.
Well, yeah, I don't know that I agree that we can't get him to fold ace queen with because like what I think is pretty interesting, what I would how I would I think play this hand, and I don't know that this is right, but here's how I would plan to play this hand is I would check raise the flop, and I would plan to check most turns with the intention of if it goes check check then blasting river, and if it goes check bet then double check raising because we're
Interesting.
so deep.
Yeah. It's interesting. I'm just not convinced that like it's gonna get players to fold like the value that they're representing. Like if the best we can hope for is that our opponent's got ace queen and will fold sometimes,
Or
which we're
king queen.
double blocking like that part of his range, like ace queen and king queen. Versus like, he as you said, he probably does have queen jack. He should have 9-10 here sometimes. Not necessarily should in theory, but does, certainly does.
There's not a ton of queen jack. Yeah, I don't know.
So
But who knows? All right, whatever. So you call.
I call is the
Yeah.
is the it's interesting. Can probably go multiple ways, but the turn is going to come the nine of spades, which introduces a backdoor spade draw. We're holding the ace of spades. There's now a one liner out there to a 10. I totally agree. I don't think I should be leading a lot here. I don't think we're calling all that much with 10x.
Yeah.
Villain probably should. I mean, neither of us should really have a 10 here a whole lot.
Yeah, I think he can have some, like, ace 10 that starts a bluff and some king 10 as well. But that's about it.
But now things get interesting. As villain, bets 30.
All right. So villain has... Okay. So villain probably has ace queen, we're thinking. Or king queen.
Yes. I mean, I think villain's range is quite capped when they bet 30.
Yeah. I actually do think it's plausible they still have, like, queen jack here.
Yeah.
But I will say that they're clearly afraid of the straight. And the thing is, though, even if they're not afraid of the straight, like, this is the thing, like, they really can just not be sure where they're at. Like, that, it can sort, this could be a very much a see where I'm at bet. And I think you have to raise here or fold, I guess.
Yeah. And I agree. I think that I should just start punishing this. Like, even though I do, like, have an ace and a king, this is one of those situations where, like, the blockers kind of stop mattering as much because, like, the villain is just yelling at me, like, I have ace queen or king queen or maybe two pair that is no longer sure that I'm good. Like, and so I just have to listen to him and say, okay, I'll tell you where you're at and raise you.
Yeah, I do think so I'll say a couple things. One, I don't know that it's that credible that you have a 10, and that's sure. mostly what you're repping when you raise. So I think that's a little bit of an issue with this play. I don't know that it, but like, we're going down the exploitative route. So who knows, like, if, I mean, this guy is clearly scared. So we're going to try to exploit that. Like it's not logical for him to be scared. Therefore it is not, we do not need to be logical in punishing the fear. The second thing I'll say is we don't actually, so I really agree with, Finding Equilibrium, the guy, the YouTuber. I really like his philosophy about GTO in general, which is, you don't actually have to care about blockers at first. So like you start when you're like when you're starting your analysis of a spot, you know, that's the blockers isn't the first thing you think about, and sometimes you can actually, you don't even need to get to that point in the analysis. You know, you can start by just thinking about your ranges and how they stack up, and like what your range wants to do and what bucket your hand falls into in terms of your range. And sometimes that's enough. Like if your hand is in the bucket that's going to check raise here, you don't need to worry about your blockers. But sometimes if it's like, well, if you get to the point where like, my hand is really marginal between like check raise or check call or fold, so I'm not sure, I need to go deeper into the analysis. I need to really start to categorize my hand in a finer tuned way. That's when you start to think about blockers. And I think that's really right because, you know, blockers ultimately, they only change probabilities marginally, especially on earlier streets. So it's a mistake to over-focus on them, I think.
Right. And that's a great point and something that I haven't thought about too much. But, and for those of you who may not know, if you're not, I mean, you probably do know what blockers are at this point, but it's literally blocking, like holding cards that your opponents therefore cannot have. So for example, I have the ace of spades in my hand. That means my opponent cannot have ace queen with the ace of spades. So it cuts down on the combinations of ace queen they can have. But to Mike's point, you know, and to Finding Equilibrium's point, you know, a much more knowledgeable channel than us. Excellent channel. Do check it out. You know, if my opponent is betting 30 again here, I have to think that I have the best hand, or that I don't have the best hand a whole lot, and that my opponent's range is relatively capped. So I have to figure out, you know, if that's the case, should I just be raising here as sort of a reasonable, you know, mid-equity bluff, or should I just be mucking?
Right. So, and I think your hand really is just in the raise camp at the end of the, like, I think your range, I think you want to raise with most of your range. So at the, it's like you mostly just want to find the hands you're not raising with, like, which is like, there's really not a lot. I mean, so like probably you're not raising like queen 10, for example.
Not raising what? King 10?
And maybe like queen 10 you're not going to raise. You might just call, for example.
Yeah. And I might even raise tens. Like I think the hands that I might not raise that I might just like fold, or maybe hands like ace jack.
Okay.
Or king jack, maybe those hands are just hands that I just fold.
Yeah, that's plausible. Yeah, so
like hands like that, second pair type hands. But yeah, I agree. I think that I do. I think I have a ton of value raises here. Like I think I can raise. Like I think I can raise like kings comfortably for value here.
Definitely.
Plus, and so you know, if I'm raising kings and better, or even ace queen and better, then like I need to have a lot of bluffs.
Yeah. So, yeah, I like a raise here. I would try. Is there a size you can use that would get stacks in by the river here?
Yeah, I mean, I think if I raise half, so what I'll tell you what I wound up doing, which I think is, I mean, it's what I wound up doing did, I mean, basically, so I wound up raising to 130, which is around half pot. It's just a titch under half pot. An opponent calling there left me with 365 behind in the pot around 380.
Okay. Yeah, so I might raise a titch higher then, but yeah, that
Right.
makes
If I
sense.
want to go kind of geometric, then maybe raising like three quarters ish pot would make a little bit more sense. But I still sometimes struggle with actually figuring out the exact stack sizes and doing that math in my head while trying to not slow the game down too much.
Definitely. Okay, so you raise. What does villain do?
And he thinks for a little bit and then calls.
Okay. What is your plan here on a brick?
I think I'm just gonna blast.
Are you going to blast on any non-queen card, basically? Well,
Yes,
probably unless
and
you're.
I think even I think my what makes my hand an especially good candidate for this is that I have the ace of spades. So if even if a spade rolls off, I think I can like blast a lot because I block a lot of those draws.
Sure. Yeah, I think that's fair. If an ace or a king comes, what are you going to do?
I probably check fold.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Because like if he's got like if he's got like if his hand remains one pair, then I don't think he's calling another bet when an overcard rolls off, and he's checking back most of the time. And if he makes two pair, then he's going to be betting a lot and we're beat. And I don't really think he's going to have like any bluffs.
Yeah, no, I think that's right. So, okay, what happens?
So we've got about 380 in the pot, about 365 behind. The river rolls off. As one of another YouTuber likes to say, the brick of all bricks, it's a deuce of hearts,
Nice.
and I do decide to blast here. It's interesting because now I feel like my hand is maybe a slightly worse candidate because I have the ace of spades, but maybe not because like.
Yeah, I mean, what are your, I mean, you probably, given that you can do this a lot, like you probably do have some, like you have to have some give ups for sure. Like, what are the best give ups do you think, give up candidates? Like, probably missed spades yourself. Like, if you have two spades here.
Right, like ace X of spades, where the X is like below the eight.
Yeah, possibly.
Because the board
And
is now, for reference, queen of spades, and I actually think I may have gotten the suits wrong. I think it's queen of clubs, jack of spades, eight
okay.
of hearts, nine of spades, deuce of hearts. So the turn brought in a backdoor spade draw. It also put a one liner out there to a 10. The river completely bricked out with an offsuit deuce. Hero's sitting there with ace of spades, king of diamonds, so ace king offsuit with the ace of spades. And I just think we do want to just be blasting here like so much because it just puts all his hands in just a horrible spot. Like, and if he does show up here with like, king queen then or if he does show up here with queen jack rather than he may find the call, but I just think he has so much like ace queen and king queen when he bets so small on the turn.
Yeah, I do think if you have exactly ace of spades, king of spades, that's probably a give up also.
Sure.
I will.
I think
Yeah.
that's
But anyway, I'm
reasonable.
just trying to think this through. But I do think your hand is fine. Like, I think you can blast a lot. I just think it's important to for it's easy to forget that it's important to have give ups,
Right.
especially on the river.
Right.
I think people give up too much on the turn, but I think people give up maybe not enough on the river. So anyway, but yeah.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
I'm speaking for myself, actually. I don't know about other players, but I personally, I know I give up too much on the turn and not enough on the river.
It is, and I feel like sometimes I just pick the wrong give ups on the river. So it's important to know which hands. More importantly than just picking the right number of hands to give up, picking the right give ups is quite difficult,
Yeah.
and also quite important. So I do jam, and villain goes deep into the tank, and eventually reluctantly folds.
Hey, we got him.
And the
Nice.
reason I said I must have messed up the suits is because villain later told me he had king queen of spades.
Wow.
So he did have king queen. He picked up the backdoor flush draw, and he said that's the whole reason he bet again on the turn. And then bricked the flush draw, was left with top pair, and eventually made a reluctant fold.
Yeah, I mean, that really just goes to show you the importance of giving up with Ace King of Spades, because, like, I mean, results oriented, of course, but that is good. Like, we really want him to have a lot of those hands. I mean, I think that you having the Ace of Spades on the river is pretty bad, ultimately. But, like, it's probably still fine. Like, I think your play is good.
Right, having both. Because, like to the villain's point here, villain may check back a lot of, like, king-queen not spades. So we want him, like, right? So but, like, on the turn. Villain might not be betting all his king-queen or ace-queen without spades. So we right. really don't want to have those cards because we want those hands to be in villain's betting range.
Yeah, for sure. So I like your play a lot. You know, definitely exploitative and in the best way. And yeah, I mean, like I said, I would have taken it differently. I would have check raised flop, but I don't necessarily think that's, like, strictly better. I'm just saying that's what I would have done. But
yeah, and I think it's really interesting to just sort of check raise flop and then, like, check jam turn. Like, I feel like that just puts villain in a really tough spot with all his hands. You know, of course, I can just gloat a little bit because in this particular case, villain probably just, like, snaps off the turn raise with you know, king queen of spades. But that's not to say that it's a bad play.
Yeah.
Because if he doesn't pick up spades, then he's probably, you know, even more likely to give up his hand at that point versus, you know, when you see all five cards, you're offering villain the opportunity to realize all his equity.
Right. Yeah, for sure. My line would not have worked. But, yeah, I mean, the double check raise is a play I've been trying to unlock recently, and I've found that when I can do it, it's, like, very gross, puts people in a lot of gross spots.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. It's something that I don't really do much. I just, you know, I haven't found either, you know, and maybe now that we're talking about it, I'll find the wrong opportunity to implement it with second pair weak kicker.
Yeah. <That's true. laughs> Cool. Well, thank you everyone for spending your time with us. We really appreciate it as always. If you appreciate it, if you feel like we've helped you get worse at poker, please subscribe to the channel and like the video and leave a comment telling us about a time you followed our advice to disastrous results.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for sticking with us down well more than an hour of theory rabbit holes and edge cases. We really appreciate it. Love all of you and have a good one.
Have a good night.